Good morning. It's wonderful to see everybody here, particularly our guests. We do have a number of guests. I see that Aaron brought two young men. And then we have Maureen, who is also, I know, originally invited, also by Aaron. Very active young man here, Mr. Aaron. And then there's many guests. As I look, I don't quite recognize, but you're all welcome. And it's wonderful that you're here for this time of worship and Bible study. We had a church picnic yesterday, and I want to thank everybody that came for being there. The hamburgers were wonderful. The hot dogs were better. Charlie brought a game where you throw golf balls at plastic pipes. That was really much more fun than it sounds. And Twyla was throwing a boomerang thing and chasing after it. I thought it was supposed to come back. But it was a wonderful time. And I say this because it ties in with my lesson today. We are the church. The church, if you go back to the Greek and look, means community. A community is something that is organized and does things together. We have been studying in the book of Philippians, and we've been studying about joy. God wants His people to have joy. But where is joy found? And how do we have joy? Well, let me tell you, joy is found in Jesus Christ. And we, the church, the community of Christ, are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you truly want joy, it is found only in the church, in the community, in the body of Christ. And Paul is helping us to find out how to have this joy. And we're going to see, and we have been seeing, it is found in the church, participating and doing things with the church. Look at the early Christians. When we look at Acts, we find out that they came together to eat, they came together to pray, as well as to worship God. They spent a lot of time together. And I think that is what we are missing in the church today, the thought of family. Because we are family. And if we want the joy that is in Christ, we must realize this means participation in the familia, family of God. My topic for today is called Living in the Future Today. Because God has called us out. When we washed away our sins in the waters of baptism, when we, in that same water, receive the Holy Spirit of God, when we became Christians, God added us to His church. The church can be seen as a colony of heaven upon this earth. And when we think about it, why do we live on earth? We live because we know that something in the future is going to happen. We are here because something happened in the past. The death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we are also waiting and expecting something fantastic in the future that controls how we live as Christians. And what is that, Charlie? Heaven. So, the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead. Because we believe this will happen, this shapes how we live. Or maybe I should say, it should shape the way we live. But it also should control our lives. Why do we have joy? We have joy because we know that God loves us. How do we know God loves us? We had that in class this morning. I think. What do we have in class this morning, Charlie? Well, it's about faith, wasn't it? Because we believe that Jesus died upon the cross. Now, Aaron, did you see Jesus die on the cross? How do you know it happened? By faith in what He said on the cross. We believe it to be true. And how do we know, Cletus, that Jesus will come in the future? By faith. We believe God because of what He has done in our lives. And so we live in the future today. We live because He died, but we live because He has promised to come again. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 17 through 21. Brothers and sisters, all of you should try to follow my example and to copy those who live the way we showed you. Many people live like enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you about them, and it makes me cry to tell you about them now. In the end, they will be destroyed. They do whatever their bodies want. They are proud of their shameful acts, and they think only about earthly things. But our homeland is in heaven, and we are waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. By His power to rule all things, He will change our humble bodies and make them like His own glorious body. How strange it is to see Paul weeping. The man who has been talking so much about joy is weeping. But he is not weeping over himself. He is not weeping about his hard times. He is weeping because he thinks about these people who have turned against Christ that he calls the enemies of the cross. He is thinking about their lostness, and he cries. Because God has called us not to be lost, but to be free in Jesus Christ to salvation. More than likely, these enemies of the cross that Paul is talking about here are what are known as Judaizers. Think about it a second. They had based their whole life upon the books of Moses. For them, they were taught from child up, it was important to be physically circumcised because that showed you were of God's people. The Sabbath was important for them, as were many of the feast days, and it was hard for them. I was in Germany, East Germany, shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall, and I know I met many people that were crushed. Their whole philosophy of communism just fell apart. They were lost. For these Jews, this was the end of the world for many. Because what did this mean with Jesus' death? It meant the end of the Old Testament. I shouldn't correct myself. It was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, thereby bringing the end of things that were done in the past. But these people prided themselves on the fact, I have been circumcised, therefore I am a child of God. I follow the Sabbath, therefore I am a child of God. The sacrifices, the feast days, can they really be gone? And they did not want to admit this. And so what were they trying to do? They were trying to bring these thoughts upon Gentile Christians. You have to be circumcised to be a Christian. These Sabbath days and these feast days need to be recognized because they too are from God. And so they brought their point of view upon the teachings that Paul had already given and the other apostles that had nothing to do with God's plan of salvation under Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, we read, since you were raised from the dead with Christ, aim at what is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Think only about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Christ is our life, and when He comes again, you will share in His glory. Christ has called us to be spiritual minded. But what does that mean, to be spiritual minded? Spiritual minded simply means to look at earth and the things of earth from heaven's point of view. That is to be spiritually minded. Think only about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. That's what Paul said. We have a dual citizenship. Charlie, you are part American and part what?
Christian.
Part Christian. Meaning, your citizenship is in heaven. The church is a colony of heaven on earth. And so we live by the rules of our home country, which means Charlie is not half and half. Charlie is all Christian. Living upon the earth in the United States, but his home country is heaven. That is what God has promised Charlie and us all who are faithful to Jesus Christ. And so we are called to live according to the laws of heaven here upon the earth. Now, Charlie, have you already attained heaven?
No.
But you live like you're in heaven. Yes. So you live in the future today. It will happen. When our citizenship is in heaven, when we are spiritual minded, then what should form our attitudes? What should form our actions? The laws of heaven. We mold our life on earth because we are citizens of heaven. This thought should mold our lives, should mold our thinking and our actions here within the United States of America. We base our decisions upon the eternal values that God has given, and not like most people upon the fads of society that come and go. I don't know, bell bottoms when I was in high school were a big thing. I don't know, have bell bottoms ever come back? Hopefully never again. But many styles do come back, is this not true? They come and go with the passing of society. But our decision making is based upon the eternal values that God has given us in this book. When Lot decided to separate from Abraham, what did he pick? He picked a beautiful watered valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. That choice just about destroyed his entire life. He lost everything but his own life and his two daughters. He even lost his wife. Everything he owned was destroyed because he chose wrong. But on the other hand, Moses. Did Moses choose wrong? The Bible says it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of the king of Egypt's daughter. He chose to suffer with God's people instead of enjoying sin for a short time. He thought it was better to suffer for the Christ than to have all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking for God's reward. Hebrews 11:24-26. And Jesus said in Mark 8:36, it is worth nothing for them to have the whole world if they lose their own souls. We, brethren, need to learn to be spiritual minded. We need to learn to base our decisions for life upon the eternal laws of heaven. Our citizenship as Christian is heaven, not the United States of America. But being good citizens of heaven make us good citizens of the United States of America, because we live as good moral people should live by the laws of God. So we keep the laws of America. We don't do what is wrong, or once again, we shouldn't do what is wrong. The church is a colony of heaven upon the earth, and we are citizens of that colony. Let me give you this morning five things that will help us in our life here upon earth to be spiritual minded. First, we need to remember that our names are written in the book of life. And believe me, you want your name written there. Because in Revelation we are taught that every person whose name is not in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. So it is important that our name is written in that book of life. And once again, we are taught that when we become, through faith, Christians, we are not only added to the church, but our names are added to the book of life. You know, it's interesting, that book of life is first mentioned in the book of Exodus. The Psalms talk about it. Even Daniel talks about it. And we read about it again in the book of Revelation. The book of life has been around a long time. And our names, if they are not written in that book, means we are lost. So the Bible teaches us that when we remain faithful to the end, not perfect, but faithful, our names will remain in that book. Secondly, we need to remember that we speak heaven's language. I'm not talking about the language of the angels here. I'm talking about a way of speaking, a way of life. We speak heaven's language. Because the Bible teaches those who mind earthly things talk about earthly things. But those who are spiritual speak of spiritual things. I love coming to church. I love meeting Christians and talking about Bible passages. But does that mean as Christians we have to run around quoting scripture all day long to people that we see? I'm sure Charlie does that every day at work. He goes up to his boss. Let me quote to you John 3:16. I don't think Charlie does that. I don't know. Maybe he does. Charlie says no. But what does it mean to speak heaven's language? Colossians 4:6, and then I'm going to read Ephesians 4:29. First, Colossians 4:6. When you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. Speaking heaven's language means being kind and pleasant in your conversations. Ephesians 4:29, when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need, words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. This is speaking heaven's language. Learning to speak to build up and not to tear down. Third, we need to realize we obey heaven's laws. We are governed by the laws of God. And as long as our government's laws follow the laws of God, we should follow the laws of our nation. Now, unfortunately, there were times when Christians had to disobey civil law. Rome commanded Christians to bow down before false gods. Christians couldn't do that. But they could pay taxes, and they did. They could be counted in what do we call those things? Census. And they were. Matter of fact, usually Christians are better law obeyers than the average person, or should be. So we are under the laws of heaven. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. Dear friends, you are like foreigners and strangers in this world. I beg you to avoid the evil things your bodies want to do that fight against your soul. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you are doing wrong. Live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will give glory to God on the day when Christ comes again. Once again, the future plays a large role in our lives. Peter says, do this for the judgment day. We live in the future today. Paul in verse 17 said, brothers and sisters, all of you should try to follow my example and to copy those who live the way we showed you. The apostles, with the help of the Holy Spirit, remembered the teachings of Jesus and brought them, telling people how they should live. Some people say, well, you should mind your own business. No, I mind the business of God. If we want to be Christians, we must live in the way Christ would have us to. So we follow the laws of heaven. We are governed by the laws of heaven. And so we should copy people like Paul and like Jesus is the main example to live our lives like these men. Men might have opposed Paul, and they did. But Paul realized with joy that these men of earth were not the final judge, that Jesus would be that judge. And so Paul knew that one day, despite what happened to him on earth, he would receive his reward for his faithfulness to Jesus Christ and his law. He would be a winner, as we will be, if we remember that we obey heaven's laws. Fourth, the Christian is loyal to heaven's cause. Why did God send Jesus? Yes, to die upon a cross. But what does that mean? Why did God send Jesus into the world? Why did Jesus say, I came to seek and save those who are lost? And brethren, if we are not doing that, we are not doing the will of God. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to heal. He came to bring people to God. That's what the church is all about. Shining as lights so that we can seek and save the lost. It's probably the wrong movie to mention, but I remember this one point in this movie. It's that one where, I can't even think of the title of it, where I think it was in Australia. The world fell all apart through some kind of natural catastrophe. And this guy got out in the desert, and I don't remember the name of that crazy show. Mad Max, that was it. Mad Max. And at the end of that series, I think it was like two or three movies, a bunch of kids with a man moved to the big city. And they burned, they got the electricity going, and they were burning the big light every night. And when that oldest girl was telling about why they do that, she said, that light will always be burning so that people know that there's a hope and that they will come to the city. That's what it's all about. We are that light. We are the shining hope for the world that should attract people to eternity through our lives within the church. We are loyal to the cause of Christ. If you take the Bible, Old or New Testament, what is the central theme of the entire Bible? The salvation of man through the Christ who must hang upon the cross. We can never leave the cross out of the story. Listen to this. It's Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they all sang a new song to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were killed. And with the blood of your death you bought people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You made them to be a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will rule on the earth. The cross is the proof that God loves sinners. It's also the proof that God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. He loves the sinner. But he hates sin. The cross condemns the world for its worldly values. And it judges mankind and pronounces the true verdict. Guilty. Christ bore our guilt upon the cross that we might attain eternal salvation through Him. So why were the Judaizers enemies of the cross? Because they were bringing these earthly prideful things that they loved so much into the church and trying to force them upon the Gentile brethren. But when Jesus yelled, "It is finished," remember what happened in the temple? That veil ripped from, I think it was from top to bottom, completely open to the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest can go once a year, and that only to bring the blood to forgive the people. But when that happened, God was saying, "My lamb was sacrificed. Salvation is now available for all men and women in the world, for those who through faith are ready to take that upon them." So the sacrificial system, with all of its feast days, with its circumcision, are gone. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. Colossians 2:10-13, "And you have a full and true life in Christ, who is ruler over all rulers and powers. Also in Christ you have had a different kind of circumcision, a circumcision not done with hands. It was through Christ's circumcision, that is His death, that you were made free from the power of your sinful self. When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ and you were raised up with Him through your faith in God's power that was shown when He raised Christ from the dead. When you were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ, and He forgave all our sins." Everything that the Judaizers advocated had been eliminated with the death of Jesus upon the cross. These earthly things mean nothing for us today. We are to glory not in men. We are to glory not in religion. We are not to glory in our own achievements. We are to glory in the cross of Christ. Paul himself in Galatians 6:14 said, "I hope I will never brag about things like that. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is my only reason for bragging. Through the cross of Jesus, my world was crucified and I died to the world." And this is true for us today, because we are looking for heaven's Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we Christians live in the future today, based upon our faith that Jesus Christ will come again. Moses didn't want the riches of Egypt. They were his for the having. He wanted the reward of heaven. Abraham, when he was promised this land, realized this land is not what God is talking about. God is talking about heaven. And so he was willing to live in a tent his entire life because he didn't want this earthly kingdom. He wanted the heavenly one. The fact that Jesus is returning is a powerful motive for us to live dedicated and devoted lives of service to Him. We anticipate the blessings to come, and we're willing to take hard times here in the earth because we know what will come. Let us learn like Paul and like Jesus Himself. Let us learn to arrange things according to heaven's arrangement, Let us learn priority. Heavenly spiritual priority should always be first in our lives. On earth, our values are twisted. We put too much value in earthly things. But what will happen to these earthly things one day? They will be burned up. Peter says that this earth and the universe and everything that we know will be burned up. So why save it in this life? Because our values are twisted, our zeal and our vigor is wasted on useless activities. Our vision is clouded, and we do not see the coming of Christ as being imminent. But do you know when He's going to come? Let us learn to live in the future today. Let us pretend that we're already in heaven and live like we believe it, because it will happen. Let us learn to live and arrange our priorities according to the ways of God. This means living with eternity's values in view and daring to believe God's promise that the world and everything that people want in it are passing away, but the person who does what God wants lives forever. 1 John 2:17. Do you want to live by eternity's values? Do you want to start living in heaven today? It's possible because of what Jesus did upon the cross. If you want salvation, come this morning and we will show you the way of God. Please do this as we stand and sing.